Praise the Lord. I am so happy to see Mark and Sandra back. Yay! You can't stay away so long next year because winter just lasted forever. So I'm glad you're here and brought spring to us finally. I mean, don't do that next year. Man, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad to see everybody's here this morning. This morning, we're going to be learning about how to grow our faith muscles. You know, when they asked me to preach, back in the kids, we just started this. We're talking about how to grow our faith muscles. So I thought, well, the kids are going to be out here, so we'll just keep on talking about how to grow our faith muscles, because it's not only good for the kids. You know, when it talks about faith, we all need to learn more about faith and how to grow and develop our faith. So, you know, when I'm talking about growing faith muscles, you know, how many of you know? I mean, the kids know this. I don't know if you adults know this or not, but there really isn't a faith muscle. It's just, you know. So, but you understand as we go here. You know, Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth. Now, I'm sorry Barry's not here this morning. I'm sure Barry thought he's the greatest teacher, and I'm sure he's the best teacher at his school, but, you know, Jesus set a high standard. And, you know, Jesus, when he taught, he took natural things to explain spiritual things. I mean, all throughout the Gospels, you see him using natural things to explain something spiritual. And, you know, that's my endeavor this morning, to take some natural things to explain some spiritual things about growing our faith. I have a few visuals to use because, you know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. So I got three visuals I'm going to use this morning. So that's 3,000 words. You're not going to have to hear me speak this morning. Praise the Lord. And then I have some illustrations and try to explain this, you know, I want you to see the similarities between growing strong faith and growing strong muscle. There is some similarities between having, you know, weak muscles and strong muscles that correlate with having weak faith and strong faith. You might say my goal today is to pump you up, you know? I figure, you know, everyone can relate to muscles because, let's face it, we all have muscle. You know, if you didn't have muscle, you'd just be a little spot of jello on the floor because, you know, muscles is what upholds our skeletal makeup. You know, we all have muscle. Some are more defined than others. You know, Pastor, yeah, well, maybe we're the same. I'm sorry. I can't use you. Maybe Corey back there. He's probably got a few more defined muscles than what maybe you or I do. But we all have muscle, you know. Most sources state that we have somewhere between 650 named skeletal muscles. Some go as high as 850. It just depends on what expert you ask. You know, when I studied this and looked it up, you know, some say 656 to 850, but it seems like no one really knows how many muscles there really is in the human body. So I figured the only expert on the muscles in our body is obviously God. You know, God knows how many muscles you have. According to Matthew 10:30, he says he counts the numbers of even your hairs. That's how exact, that's how absolute God is. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. So I'm sure he knows how many muscles we have because the experts obviously don't know. You know, muscles is going to give you, your body, the ability to move. You know, it's what gives you the ability to walk. There's muscles right here that's given me the ability to talk. There's muscles that's given you the ability to breathe. Even muscles that's helping you see. So muscles to us in our everyday life is pretty important, I would say. Just like faith in your everyday walk and in your everyday life is very, very important as well. It's extremely important. If we go to Hebrews 10:38, well, you don't, I mean, you really don't have to go there, but it, you know, we all know it. The just shall live by faith. So it's pretty important. You know, we need to know something about faith if we're supposed to live by faith. And you're there in Hebrews 11:6. You know, it explains the importance of faith. Because it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this whole faith thing is pretty darn important. So, like I said, I have some visuals. And I'd like to put up our first visual of this morning, show you. This is Mr. Olympia, 2015. He may have a six-pack. I got a keg going on here, so I may have more muscle than he does. Nah, that's fat. But, you know, we came up with this photo because, I mean, I'd love to show you all his muscles. You know, he's got some amazing leg muscles, too, but the only thing we could find was in a Speedo and thought maybe that wasn't appropriate for church. I mean, we have kids in here. So, but look at him. He's got some muscle. And as I stated before, believe it or not, you have the exact amount of muscles. He doesn't have any more muscle than you do. He's just more defined, and man, he's got some muscle, doesn't he? But you have the same amount of muscles. Think about it. You have the same amount of muscles he has, but you know what? Just as he has the same amount of muscles that you have, you also have, you know, this is our illustration. For this morning's sake, this is what we're going to call strong faith. When you see this, this is strong faith. Big muscles. Big faith muscles. But you also have, just like you have the same amount of muscles, you actually have faith, whether you know it or not. Because in Romans 12:3 says that he has given us all a measure of faith. Now, Mr. Olympia there, of course, he wasn't born this way. Could you put that back up there, please? He wasn't born that way. I mean, I hope he wasn't, because I hate to be his mom if he was. That would have been quite the birth, wouldn't it? But no, he wasn't born that way. It was a process. He got there through a process. And it's kind of like our faith when we develop and grow it. There is a process. But you know, as a bodybuilder, and there's a process. Number one, they got to be presented with this process. You know, they're going to tell you what you got to do. You know, you're going to have all these reps, and you're going to have this certain diet, and you're going to have to do this and this and this to get to that point. So they're going to have to explain the process to this person. And then when this person is presented with this process, he's going to have to believe in that process, because he's not going to do something that he doesn't believe in. You know, he's not going to put the work in if he doesn't have faith in the process. So then once he believes in the process and what he's going to have to do to get here, I mean, I would say he's probably going to see himself with all this muscle, because he probably started out like Mr. Corey back there, you know. He didn't have these muscles all the time. So he probably saw himself, though, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get to that point. So then thirdly, in order to get there, he's going to have to be obedient to that process. He's going to have to put the work in to get there, right? That sounds a little bit like faith. You know, when I was talking about, you know, growing and developing muscle, I got to thinking, well, you know, to grow the muscle, it sounds a little bit like faith. And just so you'll know, we'll do a little review, because, you know, in kids' class, we do a lot of reviewing. Now, we usually get out our little whiteboards. I don't have enough whiteboards to get pass around for everybody, so just stick with me here. But let's review a little bit. What is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 tells us. Can you put that up there? Bye, Mr. Olympia. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just like that weightlifter has to see himself, you know, faith always sees the answer. Faith sees the answer. It always sees the end result. And that bodybuilder, he probably saw that end result to go through all that process he had to get from being just, you know, like you or I to get to that big muscular build that he had there. But faith, you know, in its simplest form, basically is just believing in something. I mean, you don't have to be a Christian to have faith. Everybody has some faith. They believe in something. But as a Christian, our faith is in God and in His Word. Most people, however, they're going to go through life and they're going to have more faith in their job and that paycheck than they will in God. That's Christians included. I mean, think about it. You know, you go through the interview process at your job. You sit down there, you know, whoever's interviewing you, they're going to tell you what's expected of you at your job. They're going to tell you maybe some of the benefits from doing this job. And then you're going to make a decision, okay, am I going to believe in this? They're going to tell you what their pay is, and you're going to have to make a decision, okay, I can do what they're asking me to do. And I believe, you know, that amount of money, that's going to take care of my needs. You take the job, and then when you start the job, and you work Monday, you don't see a paycheck. You work Tuesday, you don't see a paycheck. You work the whole week until Friday, or, you know, if you get paid once a week, or if you got to work 2 weeks to get your pay, maybe you work for the state and only get paid once a month. But you're working with the faith and confidence that your employer is going to pay you. That's a simple illustration, really, what faith is. But to me, that is what I would call weak faith. Let's look at our second visual I have here. Yeah. We're going to call him weak faith. I love this picture. Might look a little bit more like some of us when we look in the mirror than Mr. Olympia does, but... Hey, this guy has just as much muscle as Mr. Olympia does. It's just that he hasn't done much with that muscle, has he? But hey, don't laugh at this guy too much, because there's something really good about this guy we're going to learn about later. And then, let's go to our third visual. Well, not yet. Our next visual, you know, there's people out there that act like they have faith, but, you know, they talk the talk, but they really don't walk the walk. That's what I call false faith or fake faith. And we got a little demonstration here of fake faith. Yeah. Hans and Franz. Now, some of you may not know who Hans and Franz is, but I think by the laughs, a lot of you do from SNL. If you're a little bit older, you definitely probably know. Some of you really young people probably don't have a clue. But yeah, they look, you know, they're all built up, but they just got fake suits on, muscle suits. And, you know, they're a lot of talk. They want to pump you up, but they don't know what they're doing. So that's for fake faith, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. You can get rid of that now. So let's get into this growing our faith muscles. First, we need to think, can our faith grow? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Can our faith grow? No, he's putting up there. This is all out of the King James. But evidently, you know, Paul, he thought that it could. This is Paul talking to the church of Corinth. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. So he's saying, hey, I hope your faith increases. So obviously, he expected that their faith could grow. It could increase. And Jesus obviously thought the same thing, because we see throughout the Gospels where Jesus is talking to different individuals, And he is talking about that they have little faith, or I like to call weak faith, or that they have great faith, which I like to say strong faith. And I want to, and the good thing about this too is that you can go from weak to strong in a short time. Because remember Sarah, when God told her she was going to bear a child after age, and what did she do? She laughed at first. But later on, you see that God gave her strength to have that child because she judged him faithful that promised. So she obviously went from weak to strong. Let's take a look at a couple examples. First of weak, or will I say wimpy faith, like our second illustration was up there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. This is wimpy faith. Because I think it's good to see, you know, what's described as weak faith as compared to strong faith, so it'll give you a gauge to locate yourself, maybe where you're at. Matthew 8, 26. This is Jesus talking here, and he said unto them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, because they was out in the midst of storm. They were fearful. And he said, "You have little faith." They had wimpy, weak faith. Fear. They had fear. And as I said earlier, fear and faith just don't mix. If you're in fear, you're not in faith. Look at another example. Matthew, still Matthew, chapter 14, verse 31. These are some illustrations in the Word about wimpy faith. This is, you know, Peter stepping out of the boat, in the water. He sees a storm, starts to sink. We're all familiar with this. But he says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O you of little faith, where did you doubt?" Obviously, doubt and faith don't mix either. If you're in doubt, you're not in faith. You know, James talks about a double-minded person. If you have doubt, you're not in faith. Your faith isn't going to get too strong. You're going to have wimpy faith if you're doubting God and His Word. He had a word from the Lord. He said, "Come." Well, you know, Peter gets a bad rap. Hey, he's the only one who went out the boat. But when he saw the circumstances and things around him, he started to sink. His faith dwindled. You know, you can't look at the circumstances. Just look at the Word, what it says. Those are two examples of wimpy faith. Let's look at some examples of strong faith now. Obviously, there's a variation between weak and strong. So it's very uplifting to know that, hey, my faith can grow. I can get from this wimpy faith to strong faith. Romans 4, verse 19 through 21. This is talking about Abraham here. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." He had strong faith. He didn't consider his body. He was too old to have kids. You know, if Lord wanted me to father kids now too, I would say, yeah, don't think so. Done with that. I may be able to, but I'm not going to do it. Strong faith there. He didn't look at the circumstances. He just looked at what God said. Let's look at another, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 6. We'll start there. Say, Lord, my servant lies a homesick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This guy just needed a word from the Lord. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Strong faith. So, the question is, how do I grow my faith? How do I come from this, if I'm in weak faith or wimpy faith, how do I get to the other side to grow my faith to get strong? Well, I'm going to give you a three-step program this morning. It's my version of a three-step program anyway. Number one, first step is hearing. Number two is believing in your heart or within your spirit, man. And number three, confessing. And actually, number three is kind of a two-part, confessing, but also just a doing. So let's look at step number one, a hearing. Because Romans 10, even the religious people have to believe this one. Because they'll have plenty of faith in their salvation. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So here it clearly states, how can you believe if you haven't heard something? Romans 10, 17, we all know that. Says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing always got to come first before believing. Now, you know, you think hearing, just hearing something in your with your ears, but you can hear things. I'm here to say, you know, if you're just reading something or you're looking at something, but you got to hear it within your spirit or within within your spirit, man, before you're going to believe anything. And that goes true, you know. You don't have to be a Christian, anybody. You know, you got to see something or hear something before you're going to believe in something. Now, as Christians, we seem to, you know, there are people seem to have more faith in certain areas because maybe they've been taught certain things in their church or seeing different things, and they'll have faith in one area where they don't have faith in others. I said the religious people, you know, some of them, it's amazing that most Christians, they'll have faith in believing that they're born again. You know, they've just been recreated and now they're going to heaven. Most people have great faith in that area. But when it comes to maybe healing, I don't know so much about that. Maybe it comes to, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I really don't know too much about that. I don't know if that's for me or not. But it's what they've heard, usually. And maybe they've heard it, but maybe they've hardened their heart and just haven't accepted it. But you got to hear something before you're going to believe in something. You know, it goes with since they're so maybe great faith in one area and not another. I mean, just think of an athlete too. You know, just take a thought of a bicyclist, for instance. You know, someone that bikes a lot. Well, someone that bikes a lot is probably going to have some really good leg muscles because they're out pedaling. They're going to have strong leg muscles, but, you know, a biker doesn't necessarily have very strong arm muscles because they're not doing anything with those arms too much. They're going to have strong leg muscles. They're probably going to have good abs too, which reminds me, I need to bicycle a little bit because I did. Once I got out on my bicycle, I realized, hey, I got rid of some of this because it works. You know, Mark and Sandra know about that. They bike. But, but that's the area they're working on, you know. I used to be in school, I did pole vaulting. Well, through high school, you know, I pole vaulted, started in seventh grade, and pole vaulted all through my high school career. And I was a good runner. I mean, I could get, you know, pole vaulting takes speed to go down. And then once you get down there and plant your pole and go up, it takes upper body strength. But through high school, you know, I really didn't have anybody to teach me much. I was almost a self-learner. By seventh grade year, I had some of the seniors that kind of taught me, but the coach didn't know a lot about vaulting. But, you know, praise the Lord, I got to where I was. I mean, I you know, was pretty decent at pole vaulting, you know. I could have held the school record, but I didn't do it in a meet. I did it at practice. So I did pretty well, but I thought, well, how much better could I have been if I was working on that upper body strength? Because I was just, you know, I was just string bean. You know, I could run good, but I didn't have much upper body strength. But, you know, later on, I went to college there about four or five years after I'd graduated high school. Well, I went out for track, pole vaulting. Man, that coach, he was big into getting my upper body strength. You know, so he set a program for me, and we went into the weight room, and he was working on that upper body strength so I could be complete. And let me tell you, man, I was in there working with these people that were used to lifting weights. I hadn't lifted weights, and it was a struggle. I'd never been so sore in my life. But I didn't want them to show me up, so I just kept on working with them. But that's the way with the word. Sometimes you're working more on this, you know, looking at this and listening to the teachings on this, and you may have great faith in this area, but you're weak faith in this other area. But it's because of what you've heard. Second step, and this is a very important step, because I think this is where a lot of people miss it, is believing in your heart, your spirit. It's right there in Romans. Look at that again. We just talked about Romans chapter 10. Let's go to verse 8. But what says it? The word is near you, and even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you shall confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's with the heart that you're supposed to believe, not this noggin up here. A lot of people have a lot of head knowledge about certain things, but they never get it down into their spirit, their heart. You know, when you hear talking about the heart, talking about your spirit. So you need to get it down in your spirit, and sometimes, you know, you got to see something more than once to get it in there. So that's why it says, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But, you know, some people will. They hear it the first time. They'll get it right in there. Some people hear it over and over and over and over and over and just try to reason it out and just never get down, drop down into their spirit, never get the revelation of it. But, you know, I can use an example, you know, of somebody that you can hear a lot of word, know a lot of word, but it doesn't mean you accept it. I remember down at, when I was going down to Rhema, they'd mentioned, I think I mentioned this before, but there's a professor at one of these large seminaries that taught, and he taught Old Testament. He was a confessed atheist. Why they had an atheist in a Bible college, it's beyond me. But obviously, he knew the Word. He's read the Word. He's read the, he's teaching Old Testament, but it obviously hadn't grown his faith any, because why? He had a hardened heart. We see that throughout with the Israelites. You know, they hardened their heart towards God, didn't accept, the things he was doing. So you can hear the Word, and you can not accept it. But if you like Daniel, let's look at Daniel here right quick, or Daniel chapter 1. You know, this whole thing of getting it into your heart, it might be better to say you purpose it in your heart, like Daniel here. Chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might defile himself." You know, it goes on there. He doesn't want to eat the king's meat. Because, it came down to decision, really. He decided, I'm not going to defile God. I'm not going to defile myself with eating the king's meat. And then it goes on, they're going to give him 10 days. They're just having vegetables and drink. Well, if you go over there to, it was Daniel and his three friends. Verse 17, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Verse 20, "In all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." And you know how the story goes. Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, and Daniel goes and interprets it for him. And, things went very well for Daniel because he had purposed it in his heart. He got it down in his spirit that, he wasn't going to defile God. He wasn't going to eat the king's meat. That's what we got to do. We got to get it from our head down into our heart. Let's look at our third step here, confession. And we're going to stay right there and go ahead. I guess we got to go back to Romans. Romans 10, 9 and 10. "And if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." There is no faith without confession. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself. Confession can grow your faith. That's not my phone. Unless it is back there going off, it's buzzing. Someone's buzzing. There is no faith without confession. Confession can grow your faith. Even if you're not a Christian, going back to look, using this example of an athlete, a lot of athletes will, what they call, psych themselves up. I can do this. I can do this. I'm the greatest. Old Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest there ever was. Hey, he turned out to be one of the greatest fighters there ever was. But he talked to himself a lot. If you say you can't, guess what? You won't. But if you say you can, if you're confessing Philippians 4:19, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," guess what? You can. You will. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. Confession is a very vital part of growing your faith. And it's also a way, that we release that faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak." So when you're confessing, you're speaking what you believe. You speak doubt and unbelief, guess what? You're going to have a lot of things not go well for you. But on the other hand, if you speak the things of what God's done for you, who you are, how God sees you, what you can do through Christ, things are going to go pretty good. You know, you just need to speak to those mountains. When the circumstance comes up, you confess what the Word says. Just like, you know, it talks about there in Mark 11. We're all so familiar with Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered them, said, "Have faith in God." Some things say have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart," remember it said doubt and faith don't mix, "but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." This just doesn't get too old. If you confess the word, if you confess what God says about the situation has to change. So, you know, maybe you need to flex your faith muscles just a little bit more. You know, maybe you need to start saying like Psalms 27:1 says, "For the Lord is the strength of my life. For the Lord is the strength of my life." You can't do it on your own, but with God, all things, what I hear from the Bible says, is possible. All things. But you got to be cautious. You know, this whole confession thing, don't be a Hans and Franz. Show Hans and Franz again, would you? Yeah, you don't want to be these knuckleheads. A lot of talk, no walk. But, you know, there's a lot of people, the reason they're this way is I think they kind of skip over that step too. They hear something, sounds good in the noggin there, in the mental realm, and they start talking and confessing. And from the outside, you hear their talk and you think, wow, yeah, these guys got great faith. I mean, they're speaking the word, but they don't have a drop down into their spirit, man. They don't really believe what they're saying. I mean, you can see that all the time, people, that you can locate them by their talk. I mean, they may be saying one thing, but you're not seeing any results. He says you'll know them by their fruits. Yeah, go away, Hans and Franz. You know, those people gave kind of the bad name to, you know, back in the day, they used to say, you know, with those people of faith, they're the naming and claiming, blab it and grab it, you know. And there's a lot of people like that that just, they talked about how much great faith they had. And the people saw that, well, wait a minute, you're saying all these things, you're just nuts because I'm not seeing any fruit from it. But guess what? You can name it and claim it, whosoever shall say, if you got it down in you, if you really believe and trust God, he'll come through. James 1:22, you know, it says that you need to be doers of the word, not just hearers. A lot of hearers, not a lot of doers. You know, and he goes on there in chapter 2, verse 17, talks about, you know, faith without works is dead. Not that, you know, we're working, but there should be some fruit. You know, if you say, you know, you got to put some action to that faith. I mean, and, you know, when they're in James 2:17, you know, where that area he's talking about, where you see somebody, you know, without clothing or without food, and you say, oh, peace be with you, God be with you, and go your merry way, and you don't give them food or drink or clothing, well, that's not true faith. Now, once you have your faith muscle, once you grow and develop, you need to maintain it. I mean, really, this whole sermon, really, this teaching we could talk about, not only just growing, but really just maintaining your faith. I mean, you really just have to use, you know, we're all in different stages of our walk, and some of us, you know, you might think some of us have much more faith than others. But guess what? Size, you know, we're showing these big, strong muscles and weak muscles. But, you know, when it comes to faith, really, size really isn't an issue. You just got to use what you have. Where you're at right now, use what you have. Oh, yeah, you can grow. You can have more faith in certain areas and that. But really, you know, we all have a certain amount of faith. And we just need to use what we have. Luke 17. Let's look at Luke 17. I'll prove it to you. Because, you know, I went through and I thought, man, you got to grow. You got to have big faith muscles to do anything. You got to have a whole lot of faith. And then the Lord led me to this scripture and smacked me in the face and said, well, look at this. Luke 17, verse 5. You know, Jesus is just talking to his disciples. He's telling them, you know, hey, if somebody's done you wrong, if they've done wrong, you need to forgive them. If they'll repent, forgive them and go on. He says a couple of times, you know, well, just forgive them. If they'll repent, forgive them. And there I'm thinking, you know, as I always think sometimes, you know, someone's done me wrong, I'm not going to forgive them. Oh, my Lord, give me more faith. Help me. And that's what these guys said. And Paul said to the Lord, increase our faith. You're telling us to forgive people? That person did wrong to me? Oh, Lord, please increase my faith. What was Jesus' response? Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be plucked by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Mustard seeds, one of the smallest, tiniest little seeds there is. So he's telling them, hey, you don't need a great big amount of faith to forgive these people. Use what you got. If you have just a little faith, you can do this. And then you can do a whole lot with a little faith if you dare to step out and believe God and use the faith that you have. So, let's look at Mr. Wimpy again. Man. I love this picture. That guy looks intense. He may not have a lot of muscle there, but boy, I bet you he would use what he has. If something came up against him, boy, he's intense. He looks determined to me. Man, if you're intense, if you're determined to grow your faith, get into his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You spend the time to build up that faith. What you read, if God said it, you better believe it. That better be your final authority. That should settle it. You start confessing what God has called you to do, what he says you can do, who you are in Christ, what your redemptive realities are. Learn who you are in him. Because, and what he's doing, Jesus is doing right at the right hand of the Father, because when God looks over at Jesus, he's looking at you. Jesus is interceding for you at the right hand of the Father, and if you believe that, when you go into prayer or when you go up against anything, he's looking at you and said, Daddy's saying, okay. Because he don't see you the way you see you. He sees you in Christ. He sees you in Jesus. So flex your faith muscles, man. Take what you got. Take what you have right now and do it. Just be a doer. Just believe. Man, this dude, I bet you, by golly, if you give him a process to grow his muscles, I bet he'll buy into it. He looks determined. I mean, most of us are probably more at this stage than that big muscle man. So let's not be too down on Mr. Wimpy here. May not look like much, but I bet you can accomplish much. And just like you, you may think, well, I don't have much faith. But if you are determined, like Mr. Wimpy here, you can move mountains. But whatever you do, don't be the two knuckleheads. Don't be these guys. Don't go out and act like you got a great faith when you don't. Don't be all talk and all walk. That turns off unbelievers. They want to see fruit. Well, I hope I have pumped you up this morning. I have no idea what time it is. That seemed like pretty fast, but hey, use what you got, people. If you want more faith, man, spend the time. Mr. Olympia didn't get there overnight. We don't get great faith overnight, usually. It takes some time. Because maybe, at the beginning, you just really don't understand what this whole faith walk is all about and don't really comprehend it. I mean, I know, my wife will tell you, it took her a lot of years. She thought she knew what faith was, but she really didn't. She was kind of one of them, I hear it, I blab it and grab it, name it and claim it type person. She was kind of having the false faith like Hans and Franz there. So just stick with it, guys. Because God can do amazing, amazing things if you just have your faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we'll go out and share that faith that we have. We'll use what we got. When circumstances come against us, we'll speak only what the Word says. We won't look at the circumstances, but we'll release our faith through a believing and a confession. Maybe you're here today and maybe you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life because, you're not going to get too much accomplished through God if you haven't done that. If you're here this morning and want to give your life to the Lord, we can do that. Or if you are born again, but you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you can receive that also this morning. Maybe you didn't have faith for it before, but maybe you can step into the faith and have it now. Or if you maybe walked away and aren't where you want to be with God and want to rededicate your life, God hasn't left you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You draw near to Him, He will draw close to you. So if you want to rededicate your life, you can do that. Or if you have need of prayer for anything, we'll hook up with you in prayer agreement, just like we did for Jenna this morning. So if any of those invitations, just come on up here afterwards and we'll pray with you. Amen. Yep.